The Conference Committee for Senate File 2725 will come back to order. Representative Paymer, I believe that we were at Section 4 of Senate Language on page R8. Ms. Pontius?
Madam Chair and members, this amends the pointer file, the BCA gang database language, and adds basically kind of tightens up and strengthens the audit requirements in current law. Requires there to be an audit at least once every 2 years. Current law just refers to periodic audits, and it includes audits of data documenting removal of an individual from the system as well as inclusion in the system. Also requires an annual report to the Commissioner of Public Safety.
Any questions on this section? Anybody here want to testify either for or against this section of the bill? Mr. Neumeister?
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Richard Neumeister. I think this is a positive section. In the 12 years since the gang pointer file, there has been really no public report outright, at least with this and the last audit that was done because of the gang strike task force issue. There was some type of report given to the public. I hope that this would that does that. The results of this audit would come under this new reporting mechanism.
Anyone else want to speak on this section?
Very good.
Madam Chair, just a
Representative Paymer?
Clarification. Is the superintendent still here or no?
But Mr. Johnson is.
Oh, Mr. Johnson.
Johnson?
It's currently done every 3 years. Is that the audit?
Mr. Johnson, did you hear the question?
Madam Chair, I did not.
I was asking whether there is an audit every 3 years of the pointer system.
Mr. Johnson, what's current law on the audit?
Madam Chair and Representative Paymer, if memory serves me, current time frame has words like reasonable and as necessary, as opposed to a periodic and random. Thank you very much.
Okay.
And proposed language is specifying a period.
Yeah. And Madam Chair,
Representative Paymer,
Ms. Johnson, would the department have a problem specifying 2 years?
Mr. Johnson?
Madam Chair and Representative Paymer, in earlier discussions, we indicated that under federal guidelines, we audit all law enforcement agencies every 3 years. So approximately one-third of the agencies are audited every year, and the request was, if it was allowable to the legislature to allow us to do these periodic ones in the same phase, so those that participate by putting records into the pointer file, we could get them at the regular time we're doing the other audit, and therefore not have any fiscal impact to our normal operations.
Representative Hailstrom.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So what number of years would that need to say in order to fit what you already do?
Mr. Johnson?
I haven't found the exact section. Excuse me, Madam Chair, Representative Pilstrom. I believe the bill had some sort of language that said every 2 years or as federal guidelines provide. And when we looked at that language, I thought that if we understood that that's the way we were going to pursue it in line with the regular federal audits we're doing, then I think it fits.
Mr. Johnson, do you have a copy of the side-by-side?
Madam Chair, I do.
It's on page R8, section 4.
Correct. Is that 7.32, Madam Chair?
7.24 through 7.35. Yes. And so the language of every 2 years is at 7.25, at least once every 2 years.
Yes, and Madam Chair, I was referring to the language on 7.32. If any audit requirements under federal rule or statute overlap with the requirements, paragraph B, the audit required by paragraph A may be done in conjunction with.
Okay.
And that's the language I was referring to, Madam Chair. If we have the same understanding, then that clearly fits, and there's not any impact to the operations.
Okay. So, Mr. Johnson, but you said that it won't work if it's every 2 years. You would need it for us to say on line 7.25 every 3 years.
Madam Chair, we could do it every 2 years, that would cause us to speed up the cycle and have some minor fiscal impact in doing so. If we could do it every 3 years in conjunction with our normal work and report as required, that would work better for us.
Thank you. Superintendent.
Madam Chair, just to clarify on this, my name is Tim O'Malley. I'm the superintendent of BCA. The once every 2 years, the Bureau shall conduct periodic random audits. What we could do currently is do one-third every year. Mm-hmm. So that first language, that first sentence, if it's okay with the legislature, the random would just include one-third. So every 3 years, all of them would be done, but every year, one-third would be done as we go around anyway.
Okay. Any further questions on this section? Section 5, Ms. Pontius.
Madam Chair and members, this is an amendment to the CBRS statute, which is the Comprehensive Incident-Based Reporting System in the BCA, and it expands the purposes for which law enforcement can use CBRS. You can see the new language on R8 on 8.7 to 8.12.
This is a department provision. This is a bill that was introduced carried by Senator Foley. I believe this same language has received a second reading in the House. Any questions? Mr. Johnson is staying seated. Anybody else want to comment on this section? Okay. Representative Paymar?
Can you just, Mr. Johnson, explain this in 2 minutes for me?
Madam Chair, Representative Paymar, this was a request initiated through the Criminal and Juvenile Justice Information Task Force under the policy group and had support from both of those bodies. The Comprehensive Incident-Based Reporting System was created by Minnesota Statute 299C40 and allows law enforcement from their records management system to contribute information into a statewide database, no less than 6 fields of data, no more than 126. Currently, there's 102 agencies contributing data, 111 authorized to access the data. At the present time, there's only 2 purposes in which that data may be accessed, and that is to further a criminal investigation and for the purposes of a background investigation. And this request or this legislation would allow 4 additional uses of the CBRS database.
Was there agreement when this moved through the? Has there been any opposition to this?
Maybe Mr. Neumeister. Mr. Neumeister?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, just for informational purposes, CBRS grew out of, in 2003, 2004, as you may remember, there was the Minnesota Multiple Jurisdiction, MJNO as it was known as, where there was a lot of information, and at that time Commissioner Stanek had to shut down the collection of that information because it was not following state law. Secondly, CBRS has been funded by at least $1 million on where law enforcement will do incident reports based on police reports on a voluntary basis. We'll send it to this thing called CBRS. That's why there's not a lot of people. There's nothing mandatory to it. It's all voluntarily. And there can be different standards or different things sent up to CBRS depending on the local agency, what they wish to do. Thirdly, CBRS has sometimes been used in some of the debate about gathering data, whether it be, you know, sometime in the future where some decisions are going to have to be made, whether or not that law enforcement, it should be mandatory, those kinds of things like that. But I just wanted to give you at least an informational perspective on that. There has been some issues with CBRS, you know, but it seems like that there's general understanding and agreement. I know one of your colleagues on this side, Ms. Holberg, has been involved historically in the development and working with BCA over the last, what would say, almost decade, 8-9 years ever since 2003 on this issue. So I share that with you members of this conference committee.
So Mr. Neumeister, I'm not clear. Is this problematic?
From my perspective, no. It was important to at least give you information to where if you might think it may be down the line.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Ms. Pontius, Section 6.
Madam Chair, members, this is an amendment to the definitions under the forfeiture law. change is on R9 at 8.30 and 8.31. In the definition of appropriate agency, it adds would be the Violent Crimes Task Force and the other references to the Financial Crimes Oversight Council.
And
why are we doing this?
Ms. Pontius, the reason we're doing this is because we're renaming?
Madam Chair members, no. This I'll kind of defer more to Ms. Perius and Mr. Backus on that, but I think it's because there was some uncertainty how they fit into the forfeiture law right now.
Ms. Perius?
Madam Chair and members, I believe during our interim hearings we heard from the auditor that there was some confusion as to whether the Metro Gang Strike Force had to report because they weren't an appropriate agency.
Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry.
Ms. Pierce, can you repeat that?
Yes, Madam Chair. A multi-jurisdictional entity is being added under the definition of appropriate agency. This summer, this interim during meetings, we heard from the auditor that there was some confusion as to whether the Metro Gang Strike Force had to report their forfeitures. So this would include them in that and as well as in other provisions in the forfeiture statutes.
I understand. Thank you.
Section 7.
Madam Chair, this starts on the bottom of R9 and most of the language on R10. And this is a new provision dealing with criminal gang investigative and evidence databases. And basically, it includes a couple key elements. The first is a data destruction requirement in cases where there is a computerized database identifying gang members. Data would have to be destroyed if 5 years have elapsed since the last entry of data on that individual into the system. And then there's also a parental notification requirement. And then Subdivision 2 contains a reporting requirement. Law enforcement agencies that maintain these databases must submit a report to the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension by July 1, 2011. And then the BCA would review and analyze the information that it got on the parental notification process and file reports with the legislature.
Any questions for Ms. Pontius on this language? Representative Paymar?
I was just wondering if Professor Levy-Pounds wanted to address any of this, because this was one of the areas I know we were close to agreement on at one point, and just for the record, just as we move forward here, whether the language stays in or not.
Professor?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. We have had extensive discussions with community partners and also with the NAACP, different branches, talking about Section 7. There are a number of concerns with the current language in Section 7 and the scope of it. Essentially, what Section 7 would seemingly do is to put into law authorization for local agencies to establish gang databases without the appropriate levels of accountability and oversight. So, for example, during my earlier testimony, I talked about some of the things that are in place in the gang pointer file, such as an auditing standard, a purging standard, a minimum threshold of having to meet three criteria, as well as an age limit, as well as a person has to have committed a gross misdemeanor or felony. Here, we would be allowing the establishment of gang databases under law at the local level without those same types of standards or comparable standards being put in place. So if this language is going to remain in effect, then you would need to ensure that there is auditing, that additionally, when you're looking at the parental notification section, the second exception is problematic because it allows for quite a bit of discretion, so that would have to be narrowed. And additionally, some of the other issues are regarding what types of data would even be collected. As you saw in Section 1 of the bill, there's a reference to gang criteria. It's still unclear of whether that applies to local databases or not. And so what type of data is even being collected if we allow Section 7 in its current form to be put into law? And so based upon interactions with community members and the different branches of the NAACP, people would really like to see some standards put into place, such as what I've mentioned, rather than a 5-year purging standard, allowing for a 3-year purging standard, which, again, is consistent with the current standard for the gang pointer file system. And then the other issue that people have raised, as I said before, is just regarding what kind of data can be collected. So you really would need to make sure that you have these standards in place. Otherwise, it opens the door for other profiling-type databases to be established, such as what we saw with GangNet in Ramsey County. And that is really problematic to the community.
Professor Levy-Palms, you're not suggesting that local law enforcements right now don't maintain any gang databases and that this language is going to permit them to do that. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. In my earlier testimony, I made reference to the fact that we know that there are databases in existence throughout the state, including some gang databases. But the issue at this point is that that's not written in the law anywhere that gives local law enforcement agencies the authority to do what they're doing. And so if we are going to write something like that in the law, we need to make sure that there are appropriate standards in place. Otherwise, we could potentially create a worse situation. The other thing to think about is with regard to the workgroup language, which many people seem to agree is an excellent recommendation. But without teeth in this legislation related to those standards that I've just talked about, then what is it that is going to bring law enforcement to the table to engage in the workgroup in a meaningful way? You know, we have, as a community and different entities, tried to come together. We've had numerous discussions surrounding the standards, and we could not come to agreement for a variety of different reasons, and it has been a frustrating process. And so the concern of community members is that if the workgroup language is the only standard that is put in place related to this issue, what teeth exist that will allow law enforcement to come to the table in a meaningful way to affect change?
Well, Professor, I think that I have to respectfully disagree with you to say that this oversight language doesn't work, because if one of the reasons why you object to this language is that somehow it's going to put in statute what local law enforcement are actually practicing doing, I don't know why you would not want to have this language there. We know that they already have the databases. Short of prohibiting them from having the databases, the next best thing is to try to impose some oversight. But what I'm hearing you say is, we don't care. I mean, we know that they're operating these databases, but we shouldn't put it in statute so that we can achieve what? So I just have to respectfully differ on that.
Well, Madam Chair, let me clarify. I'm not saying that oversight is not necessary. In fact, I'm saying just the opposite, that if we are going to have this in statute, we need to ensure that the oversight that is in the statute is adequate at least a basic level. We know that the GangNet system has not been audited, even though at the time that we started investigating that system, there were nearly 17,000 names in there. Someone should be concerned about the accuracy of that data in that system. And so if we do not have an auditing standard in place, we are essentially be creating a worse situation. And so, again, what the community representatives are asking for is that we undergird this part of the legislation with those additional elements of oversight, such as ensuring that there is an auditing standard. The other thing that's been discussed in the past is the need for a policy manual, where at least at the state level, there is a manual in place that provides training for anyone who's operating a database system and making sure that the policies are uniform if someone is going to be collecting this data. Because, again, it's important to strike a balance between public safety and privacy concerns of citizens. So I'm saying just the opposite.
But Professor, just for the record, so what you're saying is that short of getting all those elements in here, what's in this Section 7 is not good enough?
I think at a bare minimum, you need some auditing that has to take place. I think at a bare minimum. Again, otherwise, you run into the oversight issues that we talked about. And then the parental notification is...
Professor, that's fine. So this language is not adequate for what you would like to see done. Is that right?
You need auditing at the very least.
Representative Paymar?
But I think it's a good start.
Madam Chair, I just was informed that we're under call. So we'll need to... Can I call you back? Or I do.
Yeah, let's do that.
Madam Chair, before we leave, then, I have a draft amendment, and I just would like to pass it out, and maybe the conferees can take some time reading it while we have a break here and see if it's acceptable or not. It does establish the work group in a different way than is in the current bill. And it...
So, Representative Paymar, this language would be proposed to replace the work group language that is the House Section 4 and Senate Section 10 and page R12?
That's correct, and I'm totally open to changing it, but it strikes a balance between law enforcement and non-law enforcement participation. It strikes a balance in who's chairing the working group, and it specifies what the working group should do. And I'm just suggesting, and if we cannot reach agreement on some of these provisions on databases, that we consider this.
Okay. So, Representative Paymar, as we don't know how certain things are going to be conferees, why don't we do this? I think we've gone through the majority of the bill. There's a couple of provisions that are House-only provisions that I'd like to come back to get testimony. But if it's okay with you, if we can't all come back as a conference committee, I would like to see if I can grab some time. The two chairs can grab some time for us to kind of chat a little bit. And maybe if it's doable, if you will all allow us to present some preliminary suggestions or proposals to all of you to think about, if we can get there. So that if we come back the next time, you know, we can talk about this, finish talking about the rest of the other remaining issues. But of the things that we've gone through and talked about, the two of us would like to kind of chat about it. And maybe we could, between the two of us, put a proposal on the table for you all to think about. Okay, so that's tentatively our plan. Just in case we can't get back together, we just want to create a way to expedite the conversation. Okay, we are in recess.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
Okay. Section 7.
Throw it up.